Zen Ways. Welcome everyone to Zen Ways with me, Christopher Moores, and
Doug Lipner from.
And we're here in BBS Studios number 2.
We've actually now moved to the second studio portion of BBS Radio, soon to have a third.
Yeah, we were just talking before the show. You know, we're often brainstorming and getting excited, and we're going to start making the move into video. We're going to do a little bit of filming, and we're going to create Studio 3.
You know, Chris and I came together and knew they're on so many levels. On so many levels, Chris and I are, what would you say, akin? I mean,
kin. They are, you know, I felt like we must be of the same spiritual clan or spiritual family, or somehow we definitely have a relationship that goes beyond this lifetime and is rooted not just in, friendship, which we do have, but also in our own individual way of looking at things.
Yes.
And we've been marveling at how similarly we view things in a lot of ways, and we've had so many great discussions that we thought we'd bring it to the airwaves in the form of Zen Ways.
These systems of thought that even if you were to try to figure out what the opinions were of a billion people, you wouldn't find those two systems of thought alike in some cases. Matter of fact, I think you and I probably resonate on systems of thought and history and on understanding that on levels that I didn't even know another person out there who was correct. I shouldn't use that term, but had really an understanding of history and spirit.
Yeah, and it's also a good illustration of how the universe works. You know, the universe truly does operate through intent. And when you intend something and you are faithful to that which you feel, then truly miracles will happen in your life. You will find the people that you resonate with, of the same vibration, of the same kind of thought processes. You'll just feel like it's family. You'll feel that centeredness, that coming to rest of things. Yeah, and it's very important, that aspect of having faith in what you feel, because take for instance myself, to be with Don and Doug and to really become this involved with BBS Radio, I had to make a pretty big leap of faith. I had to quit my work and leave the friend network that I had built up and, come with Amy and the cats and pack up the truck and move across country just based on my heart, just based on a knowing, an inner knowing, and it seems like a very big thing, when you look at it, wow, I just up and left, and not many people really tend to understand
how big a move that really was.
We're
noticing so many people are being pulled. There's a real resonance to a lot of people in this awakening now, and they want to move to paradise. We're just happy about that.
Yeah, you can feel it's like a gravitational field. Even at one point when I was driving west, probably when we were going through the Utah desert after getting up in Salt Lake City and moving on west, and I just felt almost like a beacon, like I was heading towards a beep, 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 beep. It was just so exact and so true, and Don has mentioned this sometimes, that he thinks that this may even be the throat chakra of the North American continent.
I similarly feel a shift from parts of this country focusing on this area in particular for that chakra point. And it's exciting. Everybody move to paradise. This really is paradise. And you'll find us here, and life will be beautiful. It is beautiful here. Just plain beautiful. Chris, this brings us to Zen Ways. And one of the things people don't really know when we talk about Zen is, what is Zen? you know, there's something to this word, and everybody doesn't really know what it means, but what is Zen?
Yeah, well, that's another one of those questions that is like, what is beauty or what is love, you know? Really, we can muse on it endlessly, and none of it will really be Zen, but maybe it will help provoke something which becomes Zen in the listener or in ourselves. Because, I mean, that's the whole joke. I still remember, I have a good friend who now lives in Virginia. If you happen to be tuning in, hello, Russ. And thank you for your speech so long ago. I remember it the first time. We were trumpet players driving to a gig, and we were in his truck and driving through Illinois. And he had discovered Zen recently from the person who became both of our mentors in this regard. But he started saying, "Now, what if everything you ever could imagine is real and more?" You know, and I was like, "Well, yeah, you got my interest, you know." And he's like, "You know, we got going on these kind of questions, and that's the whole thing, you know. It's part of what you do when you show somebody Zen or you introduce someone to Zen is you give them kind of cryptic statements, or you throw them off a little bit, or you know, because it's almost like, it's the joke of Zen, or Zen is very humor oriented as well. You know, there's so many aspects of Zen, you know, the absurd, the extreme, and whoa, if you're listening, will you follow me there? Well, you never know what the next moment will bring.
Oh, when I was in university coming up and learning different subject matter, one particular that they never could touch on because people really didn't understand, even the theologians, was Zen, and I can remember reading about it. And back then, it didn't make any sense until, of course, it got a lot more of a knowledge base. And then it made sense. References to things I could understand, but then it would lose me again. And I never really quite got it until I went, of course, through my Kundalini, and I just became aware of things on a very simple level. And now I can reflect on these things and really know for certain the true absurdity in it all and the wonder in it all. Think outside the box and think along 7 billion parameters to everywhere. There isn't a right answer. There's a feeling, there's a knowing, and you get that in time with a sense of childlike innocence, I think, when you look at things again, and you even sometimes for the first time, and that could be considered kind of a Zen way of
absolutely. In fact, it's a good, really good place to get into it, because that childlike innocence, see, you can almost look at it as a human being coming full circle. They start out in their youth with kind of a naive innocence, but then you go into the world and you gain all this knowledge and you kind of go through this struggle and you kind of form a really solid ego and you have a place and a role and this and that and the other thing. But then when you start turning around, you know, actually the word Jesus uses repentance in some languages, and maybe closer to the source, means turning around. You know, it doesn't mean you have this guilt or anguish necessarily. It means you've decided to come back. You've decided that it's time to begin the journey back. And in coming back, you have to unravel the whole path that had brought you to that point. So, but then when you begin to unravel it, well, then you recover that innocence, but with an inner sense of knowing.
So every Sunday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, we are going to bring you not Zen Days.
No, not Zen Days, but
Zen Ways,
which will make every day like a Zen Day.
We're going to bring the Zen force to you through Zen Ways.
Zen, my friend, until we meet again, we'll bring you Zen.
Oh, folks, I wish you could be here in the studio, because we've gone from one studio to a studio for recording of music, We've got now two studios, and soon we're going to have a video studio. So we'll have three studios. And I look around now, and I see the growth of BBS Radio, and I just see amazing things in the growth side. People are now, our statistics rate is just climbing to no end. So this information is empowering people. There is a real message here that we're delivering. So I encourage everybody, I'm going to do this every once in a while, but I'm going to tell you, go out, grab a friend, hit them over the head, say, hey, look, BBS Radio, change your life, BBS.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we're speaking of seems really new to most listeners in America, but in fact, it's, you know, the ancient wisdom traditions of the world and the truth that has existed in pockets all throughout history. You know, there have been people who they've given their life to just protect it, to keep it alive in times when almost nobody had the means to really incorporate it because their life was more about survival or more just about, you know, a specific time or place. But, you know, now that we have all of that information from all the wisdom traditions available at once, it really creates a new environment, and it was inevitable that a service would emerge that would bring this information to the people.
Yes, and this is an organization that's going to be bringing it to the people in many media venues. Hopefully in the future, the hub for spiritual light workers to come together and really make a difference. And a difference can be any difference. I'm not even going to put a judgment on that. But find your way and contribute to it. And take somebody with you along your journey if you can. At least give them the tools or show them tools that they can find their own spiritual way. You know, we've had some interesting discussions, Chris. We've had some very, very interesting discussions.
Indeed.
One of the things that I've been opening up my mind to is really not seeing some of the thought systems, some of the belief systems that people adhere to so quickly, I might add. Sometimes a person will hear something and adhere to it like it's their own, but not to judge it or see an absurdity in it, just to let it be because it's there for its own purpose and I'm not in that understanding, you know, and it's okay to let that go and to be considerate of that fact.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah, my friend. Hallelujah. That's such a key thing because it's the attention that you give to something that creates that tension in your mind.
Yes. Yes.
And you're illustrating that really well. You know, that's one of the things. See, Zen is what happens once you release that tension. That's why you can't specifically say, hey, Zen is this, Zen is that. But you can say, hey, you know, when things happen, you can leave them be. You can continue to rest in yourself, and you don't have to give it any energy. And then when you're not giving away your energy, that energy is restored to its natural flow. And when it's restored to its natural flow, then you'll know.
Oh, I love the way you say it. It's changing the way I'm actually being. Chris, you must agree with me. There are spiritual people, and I had a preconception of a kind of what spiritual meant. Now I have no preconception because it goes along every spectrum I've ever understood, and take that spectrum on another level, and I probably haven't hidden an iota of it. But you know, I had some sort of a preconception of what that is, and Chris and I, as we're starting to explore these ideas, I was a little bit, let me give you an example. This would be a valid question. Do spiritual people all believe in UFOs? That's a good one. I mean, if you a UFO believer, would he be spiritual? Would a spiritual believer believe it? Does it have to be in the belief system? Does it matter? Or if 90% of the population believes it, does it actually create that understanding even beyond your own understanding?
Yeah, well, there are aspects where if people collectively believe in it, then it does take on a mythos of itself, and then it has an existence in the astral realm that's independent of its existence in the 3D realm. And, you know, some may believe, some may disbelieve, and some may just leave it alone. You know, that's another aspect to where, you know, you may not even consider so much until it comes into your own energy field, into the present. You know, it could be, it might not be. You know, I happen to think it probably is. You know, I could not conceive of, you know, everywhere I look, I see life. And everywhere I look, I see its myriad of forms, you know. And I'm not surprised whether it's an alien or a giraffe, you know. When you clear away all the preconceptions, and, you know, you were talking about preconceptions, and I was thinking that, you know, they're the more obvious ones where, you know, you can kind of become free of that which you've been educated to believe, or that which you have borrowed from others, and as you said, you know, you instantly seem to claim it as your own, but it isn't your own unless it emerges from your own source. And so there's that surface level of preconception, but then there's a deeper level of preconception, or just things we have taken for granted for so long that we don't even know to question them yet. You know, so as we unravel, starting at the surface, and go deeper and deeper and deeper into our unraveling, then we start finding even that, well, say we walk a certain route, you know, we walk the same 3 blocks every day, and, you know, we just assume that things are the same. We've seen the same trees 100,000 times, the same neighbors, the same this, the same that, and we kind of get numb to it. You get this brain groove that assumes it knows it already. And so one thing in Zen is you never allow those habituated thinking processes to take root, because you know that life is new every moment, and that tree is changed immensely from one day to the next, and anything is possible on that journey. You're still just, even being alive itself is such a wonder that how could you take anything for granted?
The only thing we can be absolutely certain of in one of the laws, not the only thing, but very few, but one is change. Change, the only constant. And here we are in much of our lives in a situation which doesn't even allow for the idea that change even exists on every level. We just get stuck in a situation. When I mean change, when somebody shows me a puzzle, let's say a box, and everybody's seen these boxes where you got to do this, with one stroke, without ever lifting your pen from the pencil, go through all the different areas within the box. But the only way to do this, of course, is to start from outside the box. But your mind doesn't go there initially, because we're so certain of the systems that we've been using for so long, we don't even think that there could be another system outside that system. And that's what limits us. And that's why when you take a young 3-year-old or a 2-year-old, the same puzzle, you might think, what an idiot. Oh, smarter than me, maybe. I give him that puzzle, he starts outside the line, doesn't know any better because he's never seen anybody do it before, or even looked at maybe a square before. So when you look at things with that sort of an innocence, and a total understanding, and the fact that you could learn something by just not trying to change, trying to apply new systems of thought at all times, because that's what you really are. You're just a thing in motion that's changing at all times, whether you want to believe it or not, or apply a real understanding to your nature of that or not, but you're constantly changing. And the most empowering thing a person can do, I believe, is follow that level of change where it changes you more completely. That means maybe following your level of highest excitement, or going in a direction you've never gone before, up and rooting yourself from the state you're in. That sounds hard. You might think, oh, God, I've got 5 kids. I've been living in this place. I've built my life. I've got it all around. Well, great. That, you can still change inside on a mental level. You don't have to change everything on the outside, but at least be aware that it exists for you, even to the point of the way you think and approach people. So change is constant. There is no one right way. There is no right way, is there? That's Zen way.
That is a point of the Zen way, is that there is no specific way. You know, there is as many ways as there are people who are alive. And that's why, you know, I feel everyone should have the right to make up their own mind. And that's part of what we're doing, too, is kind of, there's been a whole area of information that's been cut off from people, in to some extent, deliberately removed from the societal lexicon, because it has such an empowering effect, such an awakening effect, that if you are exposed to this information, you won't just take orders anymore, or you won't be so easily intimidated anymore, and you won't let your dream die.
Good point.
You will live. You will live. And as Doug was saying, you know, put yourself in a little risk. That's how you feel the life, you know. I mean, it's an adventure. Every day is an adventure, a wondrous opportunity to explore the new. And it doesn't have to be anything in particular. Once you start looking inside and feeling what you resonate with, the pathways will come before you. You know, you will see, and it doesn't come before you in that you see 6 months down the road, because so much could happen in 6 months. No, you see what comes next. And then you walk. You walk that next step, and each step, meeting the moment with the awareness that you've cultivated in this manner, well, then you can create it according to your feeling, according to your choice, according to, you know, your own, like I said, the dream, your dream, the potential within you that has yet to be made actual. So you can bring that out, and that will provide so many things to your life when you do that. And the first moment, in some ways, is the hardest, to break out of that prison of belief that holds one stagnant. And, you know, also another point about those belief systems and such, or thinking patterns, or mind matrices, however we want to say it. You know, there are many creative and interesting ways to say it. Many people refer to it in a different manner or whatever, but it's all the same thing, just the thoughts in your head. And when you learn that, that's a phenomenon. That's an experience in your brain. You are not that phenomenon. That's something that occurs. And when you can start getting kind of, you know, the eagle eye view of brain phenomenon, and you just sit up high atop your perch, observe it, and allow. So when you have that kind of view and that kind of distance, then there's infinite room for more things to enter.
Here's, you can even do this. If you have a real problem, you can have an eagle's eye view to the heart too. How would you do this? Well, maybe you're in a situation where you have somebody's upset you, and you want to call upon your higher energy, your love. But, you know, you just sitting, well, imagine separating yourself from what your highest aspect would be. You really can't, but you'll see what I mean by allowing yourself to be flooded in with love, and to be your awareness to that moment would get so much stronger. And it's not really a separation so much as just a going back and allowing that to unfold in a way that your participation is basically just a function of it flowing through you.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point. You can extend even further that eagle's eye view, so to speak, as we've brought up out of the blue here. But it's a blank look. You know, it's a non-interpreting, non-judgmental look. It simply looks. And you know, maybe you don't know, but if you don't know, we have our seven major energy centers throughout our body, and we were talking about the mental aspect, which I correlate with the third chakra, and then Doug was speaking of how we can also observe the heart. But also, this is how we come to know all of our energy centers. centers through observing it with space. And then we know that is how we reveal what we are. This meditation is that space. That's why in Zen they talk about meditation so much, is because it provides that space where we can see the manifested aspect of ourselves, not just in the physical, but all the way up the energy realms. Because the meditation is outside of time, space, and all manifestation. It simply is. It is the center. And from the center, you can look back and see everything. And from that point, you begin to harmonize. You begin to see what's out of balance. You begin to see ways that you're being drained. And you go through there, you scan through there, and you release. You release. You release. You release. And you release.
Keeping. Spend some time inside.
Yeah, there's no other way around it. It is the truth. It is the way.
You can do it in an act. You could dig a ditch, and you could find in that repetition of that moment a calming of who you are, thoughts, and you just be and you exist within that moment. Sometimes you might even lose a kind of sense towards your limbs because you won't feel your arms, your legs anymore, and you'll just be floating. I've done this a few times when I went jogging. I'd be running down the road, and this was when I was young, and I don't know how I did this, but now I'm reflecting back, and it's the first time I've reflected back on this. But I'd be running, and after running 5 or 6 miles, I'd become just a set of eyes. Couldn't even see the end of my nose or anything else. I couldn't feel my legs. I couldn't feel my arms. I felt like I was floating in the air, and I'd just be running like that. And I wished the sensation would never end. And I tried to get that sensation back, but I was 16 years old at the time. Nobody had really spent any time with me, what that meant. I never really questioned it outside of desiring it back. And sometimes I'd put myself under rigorous physical effort, like in my work, where Don and I would work, my twin brother and I. It was so hard, but I loved it because I wanted to get that back, and I did one time, only one time. So twice in my life I felt that.
Wow. Well, that underscores a really good point that, you know, you don't have to just do seated meditation. You know, there, seek the meditation that goes with who you are, with what you prefer. You know, like that running is a good example. Many people might resonate with that and think that that is a great way, and that's really probably one of the reasons some people like to run, is because they do find that meditative space. They might not even know that's what they're doing.
Correct.
They might attribute it just to running.
Weightlifting would be another situation where that can occur. Swimming, it can occur. Meditation in many ways isn't particular.
Yeah, in the arts, doing music, you lose yourself in the music, totally flowing in the music.
Creating a painting.
Yeah, exactly. It's that totality of being in the moment.
Yes.
Whatever brings you to the present. And if you're in the present, you're not lost in these habitual thoughts. You're engaged. You're vibrant. You're there. You're with it. You have that spark of life.
And when you feel that absolute beauty in absolute total awareness, and it feels like you're separate from everything that's going on around you, absolute total center, I can't even describe, it's impossible. You'll never, ever, ever, ever be the same. Because you'll know that something exists on a property level, even within your physical area, in this physical world we live in, that your mind could do, who you are, your physical being, your spirit, your energy, just did something so amazing. It's like, I can't explain it. There's just some things you can't explain.
Well, it's immense. You know, you're heading down that road of just the immensity of it all. You know, if you truly believe that you are simply one small person in one small place and you're cut off from everything, you haven't even begun to sense the immensity. It's referred to in Zen tradition sometimes as, you know, they describe like a fish in the ocean. You know, the fish is not really aware of the ocean. I think one thing they say is the fish in the sea is not thirsty. So if we know, we will recover our own ocean. You know, our own ocean is the ocean of bliss, the ocean of interconnectedness, the ocean of God consciousness, the ocean of oneness with all things and all of life, and the eternal truth which has rung throughout the ages and continues to ring and always will ring.
If you look at the idea of change and awareness, you're the awareness, everything's changing, and you're changing with it, so you're change awareness. Change your awareness. And you're moving in your energy. Energy experiences other energy. When it does, it moves along. It's an experience, but it's not thinking about the experience really so much, or drawing upon the past to get an understanding of the experience it's going through right now. It's energy moving through energy that's really there for an experience. Feeling, becoming one with just, there's no thought that should involve within that. Ultimately, when you are all, and you're aware of all, you are an experience of everything new in every moment. You go beyond the thoughts, the history, the anything that can chain you to a moment. You move through it, and you appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, moving through it is key, and not letting, and also even in our modern society, one reason we've been cut off from this is because people are trying to stamp into our brains things that block this process from happening. You know, what if I were to just, this show was all about, you know, just telling you one thing that you had to interpret your life through, it would be horrible, you know, it would destroy that spontaneity, you know, but some shows are, you know, they're, you must think this or this, this or this, the illusion of choice, this or this, this, which then makes somebody choose and then, but the thing is not that you chose this or that, it's the fact that you chose to believe, and that once you internalize that belief, nothing you can see in the world will remain untouched by it. That's why it's key to find these things that filter our experience and remove them so we can get back to seeing life as it is. That is the wonder. That is innocence. Right now we're coloring it. We're coloring it with so many things that we take for granted. In certain paradigms, like whenever someone even tries to describe like this 21st century era with these attributes and we're doing this like never before and this and that. And yet, I mean, that's all hooey of the world anyway, you know. It doesn't matter what way you frame it, how noble it seems or how marvelous it, you know, portrays itself. Stuff. It's phenomenon. Stuff that you, the individual, need space from in order to encounter life as it is.
Yes. Yes.
Got over the first hump there. I was feeling my way around. You know, you almost have to look, you know, what I do when I'm talking about that, I look inwards and see myself and then describe what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And go through the spaces, you know, encounter the various territories, you know, mapping the territory, kind of, you know, just, you know, and someone can give you a map, and you know the map isn't the land, but the map can be helpful.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, help you avoid pitfalls along the way, or help you take a road that helps you arrive safely.
When I was young, you know how I knew that I was a different, just thought different, because I would look at every argument. Somebody comes to me and they want to argue, debate, whatever, fight, come on. I have 1,000 ways to look at the argument differently than he did or she did. I just would look at it with every single different way coming at it. So I got to have that understanding of the limitation of thought wasn't so strong in me as a young boy until I really got into business and work. And then there were systems, and there were that I had to live by, and understandings, and that brought me back to the box. And BBS Radio is really one of those things that is allowing that box to now disappear for me, even me. And if it can do this for me, it can do it for each and every single person out there. bring them to BBS Radio. They'll be coming out of their bathtub. They'll be walking out of the washroom. Bing! The head will go zip, and they'll fall to the floor, and they'll never be the same. It'll happen just like that. It'll go bing! And they might stand there for 15 minutes crying before they know what hits them. These are strange times. Strange times because thought is moving to a higher frequency. And you're going, it's going to hit just like the sun warms you up. Hey, you might stand at the farthest part away on the pole, and you might, and it's cold there, but you're still getting rays. Its sun still hits you. Well, so does the next door neighbor, so does the tree. Energy goes through, moves. And that's what it's doing through each and every person, whether they want to acknowledge it or not. Global warming, temperatures rising up, energy is coming through, affecting us all.
Solar flares.
I mean, we're all warming up. If the planet's warming up, you're warming up. I know you might think, God, that seems ridiculous. But not really. We are a part of everything which is. And I think that as we move through these next dozen years, we're going to see a lot of people changing their systems of thought and becoming aware, and maybe 30 or 40 years into the future, a place where you don't have to lock your door when you go to bed or when you're inside your home or you're away from it. I think that people are going to reach a spiritual awakening together on one level, individually on another. And I see only wonderful times for humanity ahead. But you know what? I also think I should not stop smoking because I need the sulfur. Okay, that was very zen, but you get my point. You can look at things without seeing a negative outcome. That's really beneficial, too. I mean, if somebody says to you, oh, my God, you're going to die because you're not eating all the appropriate nutrients, and here you better take these supplements because your health is just not going to be able to, you know, draw that nutrient from what we're getting from the soil today. I'd say to you, hey, think like Armstrong. Your body's some sort of catalytic converter, and it takes this solar energy, and it photosynthesizes it into food, and it drives it through your veins, and you now can sustain yourself based on that. But aside from that, which, you know, most of us probably don't even consider, you can still convert the limited, the depleted 1-2 vitamins, whatever they say the soil has left, convert that into everything you need. Oh, that's a totally different philosophy, totally different understanding, may not be acceptable to some, might not be able to be proven. I don't care. It's just another way of looking at this more empowering to you and me. So let's make that true. You can start with these sorts of understandings with everything you look at, everything you think. You can turn it on its head. That's how you get to know yourself. And so you get to know your opinion for what it really is.
Yeah, that gave me an interesting thought, too, just how when you see two different thoughts, you don't have to say yes or no, or you just can say yes and yes, or you don't have to choose one or the other, which then cuts one whole possibility out of the picture. That is one aspect of the tantric tradition in Buddhism, is just this acceptance. You accept that it exists. You don't have to say, I choose this and I reject that, and I choose this over here, but no, I don't like that over here. And pretty soon you're creating a very complicated place to live. You know, you're creating a world that pulls you in many different directions, because after you've done that a whole bunch, you'll be full of contradictions that you can't resolve. And the only way to resolve it is to move out of that, is to step back of it and simply see that this exists, that exists, this exists, that's, you know, and they all have a place. They all, the thing is to put it in their place, to see where they're coming from, see them where they are, understand them. If you understand them, you don't have to believe. You are aware of it. Yeah, you know, you just simply know it's there. And then you can know every possibility in every
and choose wisely way. And choose maybe more wisely.
Well, yeah, when you come to the next moment, which is going to be new, then you have all of that to draw from in taking that next step. just a complete awareness of, you know, everything you've ever been exposed to.
As soon as you put on the perception filter, that thing that stops being totally present in the moment. Now, I'm ashamed I do this a lot. Chris knows this. And, you know, I should really observe the moment more. But when you don't, and you put on that perceptive filter, it might be just the color of somebody's skin that immediately puts on a filter. Or your mind's working. Now you're starting to think, what's he talking about? Ooh, he judged me. And your mind's already talking the response. You're not listening anymore. You're responding even though you're not talking.
From
and
the past.
You made that point to me a few days ago, and you know, that really rung a deep chord with me. You're not thinking. You know, it doesn't make your brain's thinking. You're not really totally aware of that moment. You're not present in that moment if somebody else is speaking to you. You're not. Whether you're talking or not, your brain's on the go. You really have not become more aware.
Yeah. And that illustrates a phenomenon that afflicts many people. Is they're just all hyped up. You know, they can't. They're moving too. They're trying to, and they don't feel like they have time to really listen. But it's because they haven't learned the value of being in tune yet, and they haven't learned that whatever they believe being fast gives them will only be set free if they have that slower space inside. And it's also a way of respecting each other's space. What we all have to say, you know, it's a matter of humanity. If I have a human being here that's expressing something to me that is important to them, well, I'm going to listen to it.
So here might be a little exercise for the week, and I love this exercise. Let's take meditation to a different level. Let's consider that the next time somebody approaches us and wants to talk to us and take our time, that we use we meditate. What does that mean? Without thinking, be present in the moment with the other individual. That could be a form of meditation. Remember, everybody says, I mean, great masters say, when you meditate, you're not thinking, you're just being. You're just in that present without any thoughts, letting them all filter in your brain, but not holding on to any one of them. Well, you can do that same thing when you're talking with people. You can provide that meditation when you're talking to people. So imagine this. Now you've just done two things at once. Now you've actually meditated while you're growing in awareness and probably being of more consideration to the person you're speaking to, and for really, really promoting a better outcome. So this is the Zen way task for the week.
Well, you know, also that is indicative of approaching a situation from the heart. The heart has time. The heart has space. The heart has compassion and love for life and for fellow humanity. And, you know, I'll add even yet one more thing to what you were speaking of. When that person is there before you, whoever it is, and you're listening and you're allowing them to express, you know, it's compassion that also maybe there's something you could contribute to that moment that will leave that person with a little bit of grace in their day. Just how you respond to them, just how you do have time for them, and how you care, and how you might be able to share something which can help them, will leave them with a little more spirit, and might one day become the doorway for them to awaken, or might contribute to their overall awakening.
You're right, Chris. You know, when I was first with BBS Radio, with my brother and I creating it, I was writing a book, and the book was about structural face reading, and really telling people, you know, there's a lot of arts, there's Chinese art, I mean, this art goes back 5,000 years to read somebody's face. The one that I adhered to most was the understanding brought out by Whiteside, and that was form and function. But one thing that was emphasized over and over and over was that it doesn't have to consciously, the conscious choices that we make do not predispose us to those behaviorisms. You are on automatic behavior 90% of your life, 99 maybe, you don't even know it. But you can consciously stop that automatic behavior, thereby not limiting yourself to that form. So I couldn't write that book anymore, because I believe that humanity cannot be limited and judged based on its form, though I could quite frankly read almost anybody and not get boo-hooed based on what I know about form and function. But it really, once you reach an awareness level beyond that form, you become more than what is seen in the world of 3D.
Yeah. And, you know, put that together with what we were talking about in approaching, or, you know, like say somebody comes into your energy field, it could be anybody. You know, it reminded me of the story that is told about Jesus, or how he says that, you know, whenever, if somebody comes to your house in need, somehow he says, it's as if I have come to your house. You know, and that's, it's as if you're serving me. If you serve a stranger in need, it's as if you're serving me. And he was, that is a non-3D statement. He's speaking as God or as the universe or as one in tune with the life which pervades all things. Because if you have a vision, the right kind of vision, when you see somebody come into your energy field, they are maybe that person in that place with that need, but you only need to look into their eyes. You only need to look a little deeper, and you can see that it's God in disguise. And you can feel, if you're in tune with your own divinity, and you can, then you can feel the potential divinity in your fellow humanity, or also even in the animals. You know, when you see, you know, there have been times where I've seen my cats looking at me, and I look deep in their eyes, and I say, I see you, universe. I see you in there, deep inside, in the twinkle in your eye.
Look into your own eyes. How many people have stood into a mirror and actually looked beyond what they see? That is something I'd encourage everybody to do. You've got to stare for maybe 15, 20 minutes. Go into it. Relax into that situation. That'll actually probably surprise most people. What's even more surprising is to show you that you're far more capable than anything. And I could prove it. I could prove it to any human individual right now to go beyond their own. Here's one way. If you were to stand in front of somebody with awareness, just be. Don't think. Be. Feel that person's energies, and then try to meld with those. And just imagine becoming one with that energy. And then look at that person for who they are. Just really just be aware of that person and that person's total. You will gain insight into that person. Asking that person 100 questions couldn't answer. You might even know, you could probably understand attraction on different levels. You could understand whether that person would be honest or good for you or beneficial to you. You will feel it. You'll know it. It'll be a knowing. And we just don't even think to consider that we're capable of that, because as soon as we meet somebody...
you could take that even further. And, you know, as you learn to meditate and as you learn the tricks of the mind that seek to hold you in the mind, and you unravel the mind and you see the way mind is, and you see various hot emotions that had possessed you, but you've come to terms with them, you've released them, you've gotten space from them, you've tamed your wild horses, as Buddha says, and you get your own space. Then when you see somebody else under influence of any one of those things, any thought pattern, you recognize the thought pattern because you've already come to terms with that thought pattern. Or if they're hot, really hot with emotion and coming at you, you're like, hey, that's old news to me, baby. That just means that you're out of control.
You know, and if you'd said this was so wise. If you get angry, when somebody angers you and you allow it to anger you, right there. You've actually created a situation. You've allowed that person or that situation to
take control. Yeah, you've given away your power.
Right there, immediately, simply through a feeling, any feeling, by the way. Mind you, love would be the highest feeling. I'd probably follow that and gravitate towards it. But really, almost anything, if you don't know, it takes practice. You can't, this change, as you could be meditate 24/7 and exist and eat your food and walk around and you'd be a master. But because your mind is always on those higher thoughts, when you approach people, when you see it squirrel or anything, you're now meditating 100% of the time because that's a way of life to you. So it's almost like instead of screaming at people on the road, start there. Just say, oh, I forgive them. Just on the drive to work, I forgive them. Boy, that's tough.
You see it as indicative of their personal pain, and you see that's where compassion comes in. You know, take that instance where you see someone who's really getting upset. You know that they're hurting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get mad at them for doing that. You see how much they're hurting, and it's a whole other way of looking at it. That is the compassionate way of looking at it. Is you've known that pain and you've suffered that pain and you've traveled such a long road to be free of that pain. When you see that pain in a brother or a sister, you feel that pain and you know what they're going through, and you have a natural compassion in you which will arise, which is a whole other way of approaching it.
Being a compassionate heart and meditating and love, those are the keys. These are the two keys. Meditating and love. And meditating can come in any way. You can do it by talking to somebody. But just do it more often. Be high. When you're aware on a higher level, it means you're stopping to think and your heart is coming out. So these two things in any situation will make you more aware of the situation. And the more you do it, the more it will become a part of what you do in every moment. And you'll find things will start going click, click, click in your brain. Patterns will start to come to you and make sense. You'll be working on things you never thought you could figure out and simplify for you. Just come to your brain. And these things will start to work, and then whole understandings, universal galaxies. I mean, I'm sure where there's rungs above rungs above rungs my mind doesn't even go to. But everything will start to make a real peaceful sort of a simple sense. And you will be happier, and you'll carry that in every moment of your life, whether you're meditating in that moment or not. It'll just keep on getting stronger and better for you. BBS Radio can do this for everybody.
Well, it's the place where seem to be congregating, you know, many people that express these kind of ideas. You know, many of our hosts would resonate or recognize, you know, much of what we're talking about, and they talk perhaps about it in their own way or in their own, you know, or as we, you know, sometimes we talk about the shows and the different ways they're going about things, and, you know, that's because there are so many different listeners. You know, one thing I want to do is go over and make sure we fill any gaps in the information, any different possible ways that somebody might benefit that we haven't covered yet, you know, make sure we've got it all covered. And anytime we see something new, something interesting, something that has that kind of deep and profound value, well, we'll make space for it and we'll bring it to the fore and we'll share it with you.
Yes, if it can open a doorway to something beyond the box for you, we'll let our Zen ways take you there. And BBS Radio, if you have any comments or suggestions for our shows or our formats, please email us. We love feedback. Sorry we haven't had a lot of time lately, but we've been building this thing, trying to put systems in place that make it function more smoothly as we have more people on board. And we've come a long way, and I'm excited. And I'm excited to be a part of this show, Chris.
Yeah, and we begin anew every day. And I hope you will be able to join us next Sunday as well at the same time.
We love you, folks. We truly, honestly love you, and we do hope you stay tuned.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.